I guess first off, Steve, let's talk a bit about your history with the company and how you got into this.
Okay, I came out of grad school in 1972 and started with International Harvester in East Moline, Illinois at the combine plant. And I started in industrial engineering, which was a pretty good opportunity to learn how the whole business operated. And I was there for 26 years. Came to Racine in 1998 as the plant manager at the tractor plant and the foundry. And as I was saying, Bob, we moved all of those tractor assembly operations to this facility in 2002.
And one of the things you mentioned about that move, though, was you went from a million square foot plant to a substantially smaller operation.
Right. We had a million square foot at the old tractor plant along the lake. And when we decided to move tractor assembly over here, we added 65,000. So that gives us a total of 620,000 square foot. It kind of gave us an opportunity to take a good hard look at what our core competency was. For example, we used to weld cabs. Well, we decided that when we moved over here, that welding was not a core competency. Machining and assembly was our core competency, so we decided to take that welding to the outside.
Now, one of the things you mentioned unique about this plant is that you do the entire assembly here.
We do. We are there's 39 plants in Case New Holland worldwide. We are the only plant that does the transmission and the tractor inside the same building. So that makes us very unique. So by the transmission, we machine all the gray iron castings, we machine the bar axles, we build the transmission, we test it, and then it goes across the aisle instead of shipped to another facility, and that's where the tractor building is. And we used to do that in two plants. We used to have a transmission plant and a tractor assembly plant, but in 2002 we combined them, and it's been a very good situation because day-to-day issues that come up, parts don't fit right, whatever, because of variabilities, those things are worked out on the floor by the production people. And it's given us nice benefits, not only in cost, but also in quality.
There has to be a lot that goes into a decision like that, though, isn't it?
Oh, of course. I mean, you have to look at the whole cost of running the business and what the future is going to be like. But that building that we had along the along the lake was built in 1912, and it's of course was outdated, and it cost us about $1 million every winter just to heat the darn thing. So it was a good decision to tear it down and move on, combine the transmission people with the tractor people, and it's been a very good adventure for us.
Now you make two tractors here.
Yes, we make the Magnum tractor for the Case IH, and we make the T8000 series for the New Holland brand. We started that in 2002.
And we talked about, now, of course, you also make things for other plants as well.
Yes, we are, I said, very unique in that we build transmissions and tractors, but we also build gearboxes for combines that are built out in Grand Island, Nebraska. We make the transmissions, the final drives, the PTO boxes. We make the front and rear axles for Steigers that are built out in Fargo, North Dakota. And there's about 28 different varieties of these axles. The biggest one weighs 6,000 pounds. And we do all the gray iron machining, the assembly, the test, and ship it to these folks. We also make valves, remote valves, and we send them to Fargo as well as Antwerp, Belgium. And they end up in Puma tractors over in Europe.
One thing you mentioned in our conversation beforehand that was surprising is the number of tractors out of this plant that are exported.
Yeah, it's most people are surprised, as you were, that 40% of the tractors we build here in Racine are exported. And as I was saying, one of our biggest customers is the former Soviet Union. Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Ukraine, Russia, a very big part of our business here in Racine.
Is there much difference between the tractor that goes into the U.S. market or the North American market as opposed to what goes for export?
Well, typically, for example, the former Soviet Union, they prefer perhaps a little bit dressed-down tractor. But in general, they're pretty common with export in North America. There are some homologation rules with exports that require extra lighting and things, but they're fundamentally the same tractors.
Talk about the tractors. When the order comes in, how long from the time you get the order to the tractor rolls out the door?
Well, from the time we get the order, there's a queue there because you have to wait in line. But we stage them in line in the order that we take them. So what that means is that we are truly a plant, a manufacturer, that does a mixed build. So on any given day, you walk to our line, and you will see a mixture of horsepower ranges and a mixture of red and blue tractors. Okay, we do not batch build red ones followed by blue ones, low horsepower followed by high, nothing like that. We mix build, which is a little bit of a challenge for manufacturing, but I think it's the right thing to do for the customer. The customer gives us an order, and he's going to probably wait 2 or 3 months because we've got a nice backlog of orders. But once we start his tractor, if we start it on Monday morning with sub-assemblies that go into the transmission line, and then we build the transmission and do all the testing, run it down the chassis line, hang the engine, the front axle, we do the paint, we build the cab, we hang it, we take it out back and do all of the quality assurance checks. If we start it Monday morning, by Friday afternoon, it's on a truck and it's headed to the customer.
And talk about the testing that takes place along that line.
Well, what we learned a long time ago is you can't test quality into the product. You have to test it along the way. So we call it in-process quality checks. So all along the build of the transmission, the build of the chassis, the build of the cab, the build of the tractor, we have quality gates and inspection test stands along the way that check the quality at that stage of development of the assembly process. Of course, when the tractor rolls off the line, we've also got some final quality checks, but we're proud of the fact that we build quality checks into the process and not wait till the tractor is ready to be shipped.
And you were talking earlier, too, that you're talking about the mixed production or the mixed line, and every one of those tractors, every specific is almost different, every requirement that the customer wants.
It is amazing. Back about 5 years ago, when we weren't quite as busy as we are now, I asked a guy to go back and look at 12 months of tractor orders and tell me what the variability is. And it was a bit shocking. He came up with 53% of the tractors that we'd built in the prior 12 months were one-off, meaning that in the entire 12 months, we only built one tractor with the identical spec, okay, 53%. And I still find that number incredible even today. So there is a great deal of variability. We build our tractors to the customer spec. When we build a transmission and it gets loaded onto the tractor line, we scan the barcode. It goes out and looks at the customer order and says, here's all of the features that this particular customer wants. It sends electronic signals to all of the sub-assembly areas, for example, the cab, and we will build a cab down the cab line matching that customer order so that when the tractor comes out of paint, comes around, and is ready for the cab to be dropped, that customer's specific requirements that he wanted in that cab is ready to drop on his tractor chassis. So, like I say, it's exciting. It's a lot more complicated than what people can imagine, but I think we do a very nice job of meeting the customer's expectations.
I was kind of surprised you mentioned what is the most varied option that they have available to a customer.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, and it is amazing, but it happens to be tires. Tire sizes, tire brands, and wheel sizes is if you went to order a tractor and you said, okay, here's some of the decisions I got to make, when you get to the point where it says, what tire do you want, that's the most options that are available is in that particular feature.
You mentioned that the plant's very busy. Just has really been some terrific growth for the company here, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We're very happy. Our tractor, our Magnums, are very much appreciated by the customers. We last spring added a second shift to tractor assembly. And I think that's the first time in Racine's history, that goes back to the early 1900s, the first time that we've had two shifts of tractor assembly. Now, in our machine shop, that's a different story. I mean, we run the machine shop three shifts, 5 or 6 days a week. But the first time we've had two shifts of tractor assembly. So,
how often does a plant, you know, in your history with the company, how often does a plant get retooled? I mean, obviously when they made the move, there was some retooling going on. But is this one pretty well set for a number of years here?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that. Retooled, we're constantly upgrading our equipment, upgrading our tools. For example, with the volumes that we're working now, we've spent $20 million last year on new machine tools for our machine shop that are designed around manufacturing cells. So one of our operators in the machine shop will run three or four pieces of equipment, and he owns the entire quality of that part. So some folks will do part of the machining with one operation and move it somewhere else for a second operation and then maybe somewhere else for a third. We don't do that. One operator runs three, four, five pieces of equipment, and he has complete responsibility for the quality of that part, which is a very nice competitive feature for our manufacturing cells. But like I was saying, we spent $20 million last year on new machines to handle, to accommodate this increased volume that we have in a second shift of assembly. And over the last 3 or 4 years, we spent $47 million. So we're constantly retooling, as you'd say, not only for the new tractor models and the new features, but also capacity.
Talk about the employees. I mean, there's a degree of pride along that line.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we were talking about quality and customer satisfaction with our Magnum tractors, I mean, it starts with the employees. And our people take a great deal of pride in the Magnums. As I said, these Magnums are sold worldwide. If you are driving a Magnum in Germany or in China, it came from Racine. That's the only place you're going to get a Magnum tractor. And we're proud of that. We're proud of our employees. We have over 4,000 people come on tours per year. And I think that allows our employees to interact with the customer and understand what the customer wants. And I think we do a very nice job of satisfying them.
Do you get farmers that come here and I want to watch my tractor being built?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes that's a little tricky because it's not always that easy to predict the day and the time, because they will want to say, okay, I've only got an hour, and I want to be here on the 14th of the month at 10 o'clock. Can my tractor go down the line then? And I says, well, maybe not. You got to have a little bit of flexibility there. But it's a pretty exciting thing for them to actually watch the tractor go down the line. And then our assemblers, you know, love to talk to the customer and understand what features does he like about our tractor. Why did he buy a Magnum instead of a competitor? And like I say, they're the reason we're successful, because they understand the customer and they build the quality into our Magnums.
What about tours? How does one go about getting on a plant tour?
We have a tour hotline. And you call up, and they'll schedule groups. Like I said, 4,000 people a year come through here. Many times they come by the busload, and we'll entertain them here in their conference room, show them some slides, give them a little Racine Kringle, and walk them through the tour. Sometimes at the end of the tour, we'll do a question and answer with them. Many times our customers are from all over the world. And, I would say once or twice a week, I try to greet the big tours, especially if they've traveled, you know, from Asia or Europe. And it's very common to have an interpreter. So as I'm going through the slides and explaining what we do at the plant, it takes twice as long because it has to be communicated two different languages. But it's a fun thing for us to do here.
So where to from here for you and for the plant?
Well, I think that we've got a few challenges coming ahead. like I say, we got it. We've bought those machines. Some of those $20 million of machines are just being delivered through the back door. And what we are doing now is installing them, getting them production ready. And once we get all those machines up and running, it'll allow us to bring back some of the parts that we had to temporarily take to the outside because the volumes went up faster than our ability to match that capacity. So we've got some work ahead of us over the next 2 or 3 months, and we look forward to continuing to satisfy our customers.
Magnum has worked out pretty well for the company, hasn't it?
The Magnum, I mean, when we went into the Tier 4 earlier last year, we had some concerns, okay? And I think no one really understood what the market was going to be. And the customers have responded well. They like what we make here in Racine. And like I say, we're proud of the tractor, proud of our Magnum tradition, and proud of our employees that build it.